Before there were tents in Zuccotti Park, before there were demonstrations, the creative minds at the Canadian magazine Adbusters launched Occupy Wall Street with an op-ed and a Twitter hashtag. And then there was a slogan, simple, powerful, and short enough to fit on a cardboard sign. We are the 99%. Occupy, a single word, a verb, that's become both the name of the movement and a directive to supporters. But as the months wear on and groups around the country have been evicted from their camps, that original image of outraged middle-class American citizens has become a bit obscure. Are they protesters or squatters? Are they demonstrators or homeless? A national poll released earlier this month found that less than 1 in 4 young people say they support the Occupy movement. So maybe it's time for Occupy to rebrand itself. And if so, who better to consult than the experts on the cable network AMC? WGBH senior reporter Philip Martin recently asked a bunch of advertising executives, real ones, what would Don Draper do to save Occupy Wall Street? Draper is the fictional ad creative director in the hit AMC series Mad Men. And Philip joins us from the studios of our partner, WDBH, in Boston. Good morning, Philip.
Good morning, Celeste. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for joining us. You actually spoke to a number of ad execs, not about whether or not they support Occupy Wall Street, but if they were given the job of rebranding Occupy Wall Street. Did you ask them how would Don Draper do it or how would they do it?
Well, both. And they love this this assignment, if you will. I mean, the first thing, of course, Don Draper would do is have a martini. That's not happening these days. But the first thing they indicated Don Draper would do, and the first thing they would do is identify the problem. And what they see as a problem is that this issue has been framed, let's say, by both by conservative ideology and by self-inflicted problems within the Occupy movement, like how to navigate the problems of homelessness when you're trying to do something about homelessness, but you leave yourself open to some of the most extraordinary pictures that a conservative could use. And so you hear terms like a bunch of hippies, they're lazy, they're criminals, they don't want to work, they're all over the map. This type of thing. So one ad executive in particular, Roger Baldacci of Arnold Worldwide, I mean, he's a real world ad man, to say the least. He was excited about this. He talked about taking the fight to the 1%, to the perpetrators themselves, those who caused the 2008 economic crisis. And instead of keeping the protest near Wall Street and in urban centers and so on and so forth, take the protest to the gated communities where some of the CEOs that make up to $80 million a year live. So he said he'd use a little Michael Moore tactics on them, except that he had tried to actually engage those CEOs in a dialogue. Here's what he said about reframing the argument.
I would reframe the argument. Right now, the Occupy folks, they look like squatters, and they're kind of unkempt and dirty. I would turn that around, and I would make them the new freedom fighters on the war against greed. And I would use military terms. We're all in love with the military these days, right? Support our troops. I wouldn't call them camps. I would call them forward operating bases, FOBs. And I would enlist members of the military who are also in that 99%. I would make sure they're in our FOBs in full gear.
You know, we're speaking with Philip Martin, a senior reporter at WGBH, our partner in Boston. And you were talking about taking it to the gated communities where some CEOs make $80 million a year, although it's 80. I think you were talking about the CEOs making 80,000 is what he recommended.
No. I mean 80 million. What Roger Baldacci did was he went through a list of Forbes executives, those on this list. And the top executive in this country makes $80 million a year. Some make 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, up to $80 million a year. And those are the people he said you don't hear about. That's why this figure, it seems so surprising.
You know, I got to ask you, Philip, I mean, we're talking about consulting with people who are probably part of the 1%. Many of the very top ad execs, they work for companies like Coca-Cola and Nike and some of the corporations that perhaps Occupy protesters would protest themselves. So, I mean, how did they say that a Don Draper, who is definitely an elitist crowd, whether he's fictional or not, would shape a story for the demonstrators living in tents?
Isn't that the irony of this particular story? You're absolutely correct. I mean, this is Madison Avenue. And Don Draper, of course, epitomizes Madison Avenue of the 60s, which was predatory, to say the least, in many ways, given the type of clients that they represented, cigarette firms, for example. But I think what you find also among ad executives these days are a mixture of people who a lot of pro bono work, a lot of people who are interested in what is happening to Main Street and the 99%, and thus they were eager to talk about the things they've been seeing on television. I talked with a veteran image maker, Marta Kagan, of a Boston internet marketing firm, HubSpot. Now, she feels what the movement is lacking is the feeling of, wow, here's someone I can relate to. This is the person I want to be like or want to be with at a diner, for example. Here's what she had to say.
Well, if I were Don Draper, I would look for a hero or heroes to represent it. If we can show heroes, if we can show stories of what the 99% is doing to change the world, to improve opportunities, to grow the economy, then you've got something interesting to show in video.
So she's saying that the Occupy movement needs a Martin Luther King like the Civil Rights movement had, that the Occupy movement needs someone to be a spokesperson.
Yeah, not necessarily Martin Luther King, but someone who they can relate to, someone who epitomizes the movement. Now, the message itself, they acknowledge, has been very effective. That is to say, the message about about income inequality. Tom O'Neill, who's the chief operating officer and the president of the political strategy firm O'Neill and Associates, also happens to be the speaker, Speaker Tip O'Neill's son. He says to take that message, work with it, and turn it into something greater. Use it as part of the 2012 debate. Here he is, for example.
The point is, what we're trying to do is provoke the 99%ers debate in the presidential year, to get people focused and talking about it, so that the average man or woman really falls back and says, you know, they're at least talking to the issues of what's plaguing America. They're at least talking about the issues as to how we're going to educate the, you know, the next generation of our children. They're at least talking about the mounting homeless in American streets. They're at least talking about health care costs and what they intend to do about it. And it becomes part of the debate, which is a very important thing to have happen.
And Philip Martin, did you get any feedback from Occupy Wall Streeters on these views?
Oh, I did. Absolutely. I spoke to a number of people individually, and they say they can't speak for the movement. But each one I spoke with said they love some of these ideas.
Huh?
But of course, this is a horizontal democracy.
Yeah.
So it's how do you talk to Occupy movement as a whole is problematic because it's a horizontal democracy.
That's
no
right.
One represents the movement.
And if Don Draper were real, they probably wouldn't like him very much. Philip Martin, a senior reporter at partner radio station WGBH in Boston. Philip, thanks.
It's a loss, John. Thank you.
We were just speaking to WGBH reporter Philip Martin about how advertising executives would rebrand the Occupy Wall Street movement, and we wanted to hear from an Occupy protester. Joining us now, a small business owner and Occupy Boston demonstrator, Nadeem Mazen. Good morning, Nadeem.
Good morning.
And you heard my conversation with Philip. There were three main suggestions there. The first was to kind of use military terminology, that make it a forward operating base. What did you think of that suggestion?
I thought that was interesting. All the suggestions were interesting, but I think it's probably unhealthy to project military terminology on something, on a movement that is trying to question and undermine the infrastructure of things like the military-industrial complex. And, you know, that's certainly in the hearts and on the minds of many people as we look at our fiscal deficit as a country and on our actions, our international actions, supplying Egypt with tear gas.
But what about the underlying proposition that you do a Michael Moore, that you go straight to these people who are making the 1% type of salaries and sort of ambush them with your message?
You know, and that's fine, and we've done that on certain types of demonstrations where we show up at a CEO's house or someone else where we believe that they're accountable, not just to their shareholders but to the people whom they impact in the economy. But it's less about what people are making, and it's more about how that money is incentivizing them, especially in the issue of financial malfeasance on Wall Street and elsewhere. We have incentivization packages that cause CEOs and others to make short-term sacrifices to themselves and to their corporate values, to moral values, to community values, where we could be incentivizing people for the long term. And there's no reason to do it this way, given that this also comes at the detriment of a company's long-term bottom line.
Well, we're speaking with Nadeem Mazen, who's an Occupy Boston protester, MIT grad, and owns two small businesses. What about this other suggestion coming from Marta Kagan, an ad exec, who says you really need a hero, not necessarily a spokesperson, but a sort of Joe the Plumber-like character who everyone can relate to?
You know, I think we can have the best of both worlds here. We can have the storytelling that Marta seemed to be indicating without having a hero. I think often media people want to find one voice and one message and clarify things that way. But with digital video, with good audio, with good reporting internally, occupiers, I think, can communicate their stories in a broad and authentic way without necessarily isolating a single hero. You could have a page of 80 heroes or 100 or maybe every single person who demonstrates puts down their hero story.
But that sounds, Nadeem, like you're saying that the Occupy movement doesn't need to make any changes, which would...
I don't necessarily think I'm going that far. I would certainly say that this is the right question. What would Don Draper do, irrespective of his position in the 1%, his fictional position in the 1%, is a great question. And I think when Marta says, on Philip Martin's December 20th article, real heroes, real growth, real change, or this is how real people do it, that generic slogans like that can be can get people riled in a good way without necessarily portraying the wrong message. And I think that's great. I think maybe Occupy would do well to embrace that in art and to embrace that in its internal reporting. But I think the fact is that so often Occupy is involved in the internal discussions to clarify what those points are and to figure out how to generate a broad-based movement.
And we'll have to leave it there. That's Nadeem Mazen, Occupy Boston protester, owner of two small businesses. Thanks so much, Nadeem.
Sure. Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.